RT.
Good morning and welcome, everyone. Today is Tuesday, November 28th, 2017. It is 11 a.m. This is the Josephine County Board of Commissioners convening for a general discussion. We just have two specific items on the agenda this morning. One, a comprehensive budget review, and then item number two is a public health review. As most may know, we're going through the initial stages in evaluating a potential transition in the way we administer public health services in Josephine County and looking at more of a public-private partnership model that's been done in other parts of the country, certainly in other parts of this state are exploring that. It's just kind of an efficiency in providing services to people seeking services through public health. And so we can go ahead and get started with, no tie even, Mr. O'Hara. Go, you're up, Tiger.
Okay.
My desire in the comprehensive budget review is probably not going to be comprehensive today. I know that we have some appointments coming up right at noon, if not a little bit before, which will take some time. But I'm not sure how long the public health review will take. I just kind of think that it's important that we get an update from time to time based on the progress of how things are moving forward. And then, much like what I hope we get from legal later on for the adoption of the codification of the code, that we have kind of an outline of these are the steps that we're planning on taking and the timeline about when those are going to be taken. What I'd hate to do is for progress to be made on the public health side of things or anything else that says, no, that's not exactly in the direction we wanted to go, or if people have got new information, just that we're all on the same page moving forward. So for this, coming up in December, we're meeting halfway through our budget. It's pretty customary for the board to kind of do a mid-year review of how the budgets are doing. We used to do it a lot more often when our budgets were, our programs were a little bit more fiscally tight. I wouldn't say that they're not fiscally tight now, it's just that there's a little bit of a margin in most of the budgets where we haven't had that before, excluding the public safety element.
I would call it stable. I think we've reached a point of status where we can, not going to use that word, but the stability where people are used to the level of service that we're providing. We're not trying to find that balance between our income and our outgo. So I think our the right approach to that is that we've reached a point of stability within most of our programs so that we don't have that urgency of seeing are we crashing and burning in any particular.
Yeah, none of them are really in transition other than the
correct.
Law enforcement side of things this year.
Correct.
I know that there's other than community corrections, there's a fair amount of resources there that they're trying to, not a reorg, but you know, bolster their service levels. So,
right.
I had outlined in an email to you the specific budgets that I was looking to try to review that I thought of that were probably those in the crosshairs that might mean, so we don't have to review every one, but it's really important that I think that, you know, we be good stewards of you know, I have a lot of trust in our managers to do the right thing and definitely work with our liaisons if they're outside of what their projections should be for this time of year. But first and foremost, and I'm hiring every single manager, I never want to be surprised. So mid-year is the time that I think it would be, you know, if you're on a trajectory that's not going to be positive, you have time to steer the ship, right the ship. If we're looking at this in May and June is the end of our fiscal year, it's too late. You can't make an adjustment then. And why wasn't this brought to my attention in December or January when we can, like, you know, affect real change?
Catching early enough, a lot of times it doesn't cost you as much.
Right.
That's my thought. So,
well, if you think about it, any adjustments you make in January have to be affected for 6 months. You have to make up that balance in the six-month period. So that just basically doubles whatever that impact would have been on an annual budget for the final 6 months.
But if you
months.
Wait till April,
then you're
not going to catch it.
Then you're tripling.
The sheriff's
tripling.
Office historically
yes.
was one of those places that would scare me from time to time, the mid-year budget. This sheriff's office,
right?
Just basically because of overtime and not forecasting the appropriate amount of resources that they were going to need.
Right.
I have the utmost confidence in our current sheriff and administration for the way they budgeted the last couple of years that he's been in office, the last mm-hmm. 3 years. I've never been more impressed with the way the fiscal reality kind of comes in mid-year. And in a lot of cases, they're money ahead of where they projected to be, mostly because of the inability to hire people in a timely fashion. And I think that lag has not been positive always for service levels that we'd like to see out there, but it's been positive reflected fiscally. So there's a balancing act of, you know, filling those positions, but not using overtime. There was 1 year, and I could be wrong, but the general consensus that I came away with, they had not only burned through their overtime budget already, but were over where they were. And it's really tough at those back in 2013 to go find $300,000 or $400,000 to make up that level of service, or you're going to have to shut it off for the remainder of the year. That just doesn't come out of the sky. So I don't want those kind of challenges put in your lap, my lap, at the 11th hour.
Well, I think they also are being a little more realistic on their contract bed revenue, where they used to, I'll just say that they used to use that as the balancing for their budget. They would be generous on what they anticipated for contract beds, and that may or may not have occurred. So that could cause them to have a little bit of a shortage also. But one of the reasons we established the Public Safety Fund is that we could focus in on those particular programs, the DA and juvenile, and find out where we're coming up short, rather than having them lost in the general fund with the other 9 programs that are in there.
So do you want to go over?
Well, yeah, what I have done, here, give that to, what I have done is I took a more holistic approach, if you use that word, the total approach. So if you'll indulge me for just 3 minutes, I'll give you a county-wide view, and then we can get to the meat of the specific programs that you would like to hear about. So overall, the county budget for this current year is about 11% higher than what it was in the prior year. That's almost entirely due to the adult jail and juvenile detention levy coming in. There was some additional money, of course, with the JRI funding, Justice Reinvestment Act funding, but overall it was 11% higher. Our fund balance countywide is about $2.5 million less than what it was the previous year for all county, almost entirely due to the Public Safety Fund. We anticipated that, we budgeted for it, we knew it was coming. They were spending down their final reserves in the Public Safety Fund, and we were faced with either the passage of the operating levy or a drastic reduction in our service levels. So we budgeted for the reduction. It wasn't a surprise, but it was. But that's the reality of it. With the passage of the levy, that gave us some breathing room, but of course we won't receive those funds or haven't received those funds until November, when the tax statements go out and the citizens pay their taxes. So the beginning fund balance was accurately reflected. This report shows, I give a brief overview of where each of our major funds have started. General fund, public works, public health, public safety. Just a brief overview of what they started with and why. We don't have to go over that. I think at this point in time, it's safe to say that everybody, there were no real surprises as to where we're at. We intentionally, within the general fund, for example, we intentionally underestimate what revenues we can get in, and sometimes we don't know, but we do our best estimate. But the general fund is in pretty good shape with the beginning fund balance, mostly because we had a couple hundred thousand in federal funds, the PILT payments that came in, some good permit sales with the planning. what else did I put down there? The timber sales.
Let me ask you a question. Like, for instance, down at Public Work Front, you said beginning fund balance of $3 million.
Yes.
Decrease. That is beginning on July 1st.
July 1st,
of 17.
Yeah. Correct.
Okay. So that is not where it is now. You are,
right.
Yeah, we're okay.
Right. I just wanted to, and that's the approach I took to just give a starting point of the current year. And then, like I said, we can now you know, delve into the specific programs
where of
what the interest is. Yeah. I think in an overall sense, we're within budget. We're operating within our budgets. There's nothing that seems to be on fire that says what is going on, what's happening here. I think if you look at some of the attached reports, what I'd like to point out, if you go to page... the second page, the page two, or maybe it's page three if you count double-sided.
Go by the page number at the bottom.
Yeah, the one that says page 1 of 4. What I've done is given you just the briefest, the highest level overview by a fund. Notice that we have 49 funds on there, so even the briefest overview is extensive. There's quite a few funds that could be talked about. In general, what I want to point out is I gave you 5 columns, the year-to-date actual, the budgeted revenues and expenses, and then the last 3 columns are just mathematical variances. The budget minus actual gives you variance. The budget divided by 12 times 4 gives you the year-to-date budget, and then the actual divided by the budget gives you the percent. So those last 3 columns are just mathematical. We're 4 months through the year, 33%, you know, 1/3 of the year is gone. In general, if revenues are 33% or higher, that's good. If expenses are 33% or lower, that's good. The opposite, you wouldn't want to necessarily see. But there can be reasons for things to change like that. A lot of our programs are cyclical. Parks, fair. A lot of our programs depend on grants, and grants come in sometimes in lump sum, like the Community Corrections JRIA funding. It's a lump sum grant. They give you the whole wad at the, we haven't got it yet, but they're going to give us the money. Transit's the same way. We'll talk about that, I think, in a minute.
Now, when we get the lump sum from JRI.
Yeah.
That's a 2-year.
I think they actually, yes.
When you put it in here, do you only use 50% of that figure and then you move 50 to next?
Do you
put the whole thing in and then?
The actual cash deposit will be what it is, and we will record that as revenue received. Now, their budget, they're budgeting half for this year, half for next year.
What they have available for their budgeting purposes would only be half of that.
Right, correct. Okay. Correct, but I actually
think... didn't want it to be, whoa, look at this, then next year, whoa, look at this, and give it one of these.
Right.
Receivable versus payables in my...
Right, and so they budget for this year what they plan on spending for this year.
Okay.
Do we know what's going on with the clerk's office, that their expenses are...
Well, the main thing I would say for them is that the clerk quit, and we had a position open for a couple months. So that's probably why they would have some savings on the personnel side.
No, it's expenses are above 33%.
Where are we at?
The clerk on page 2 of 4, I think.
2 of 4, about halfway down.
You're looking at the clerk records?
Clerk records, yeah.
Clerk records. Yeah, that's
just a one portion of their revenues.
Right, right. The actual clerk operations is in general fund. The clerk records is a unique fund. It's a percent or a charge per document that's recorded that goes into the clerk records. That's limited to...
Is that the contributing revenue stream to the corner preservation?
No, it's not the corner preservation. It's the...
records and retention fund?
It's for their records. It's for them to get new tabulation machines, for them to keep up on technology, to... buy things to
training.
I don't think
it's training. I think it's capital for the most part.
And we are looking at some different
Yeah, so that's a statutory charge on each document that goes into the clerk record fund. So that's why it's a separate fund. We don't include it in their operations.
That's hard to track, just like Fair Parks. It could be completely cyclical, economic, and it's not really tied towards an operational. So nobody's gonna need to reduce anything in the clerk's office. They may have to wait to purchase that new ballot tabulation machine or...
Right. And when we bought the tabulation machine, that's where we paid for it, is from clerk record.
Yeah.
That's exactly the point behind the first four
this
pages is to give you a...
Looks different than I think what I've looked at before.
Well, it is. I took the tact
you
of
like
saying
it?
This is what Springbrook provides for us.
Oh,
rather than
like
me
it.
dumping it into a different format and spending a lot of time, this is what your office can run. This is a report that your office can generate, or you can ask us and we can generate that.
What I see from this is there are things in here that I want to know more about.
Right.
And so that would be the follow-up. I think this is the
yes.
initial meeting, what you say. And you say, well, I need to look at the budget and say,
mm-hmm.
what did we pass relative to property reserve? And what are incorporated in all of those expenses that are budgeted throughout the year? What I don't like is that last line, the property reserve, or all of them say, they expense out to zero. It feels weird that there's a placeholder that makes it balance. And that's the intent, but it gave me the initial wrong impression that these are zeroing out these funds, which they're not.
Right. And unfortunately, that is a generated column from the report.
It's a pointless column, in my opinion. They all zero out to zero. It doesn't tell me anything.
Yeah. No, that percentage, it doesn't. But the crux of the matter is the revenue line and the expense line.
Yep.
That's where the percentage comes in.
Yep.
And the overall percentage, can be a little bit misleading. So that's why you want to break them down into their individual pieces.
What about page 1 of 13? That looks more along the lines of
right.
what I have seen in the past and what I think is reflective of each fund.
And so what you see on page 1 of 13, that's the same report.
It's just
expanded with the different categories of revenues and expenses. So that's where you're peeling the onion of, one more layer and taking a look at the specific. Overall revenues could be up, but what does that mean on the individual line item basis? You can say property taxes, for example, in general fund, 1.5%, this page 1 of 13, the very first line, property taxes, we've collected 1.5%. Well, that makes sense. It's October. We don't get property taxes until November.
Really.
Yeah, so...
That would be just somebody coming in and paying late taxes or something.
That's basically what it is, yes.
Before they get their next bill.
Just me personally, I don't need that.
You don't like the summary on
I don't.
Yeah.
It doesn't do anything for me. What I really want to know is every summary that has anything of interest, I want to ask the next question. The next question's asked right here.
Right.
And I get what this is doing, but I see it here.
Okay. And it's the exact same information. It really is. The revenue, for example, on general fund, the bold line 50.91, that's the exact same percentage you have on the summary page.
There's probably a lot of people that would benefit from seeing something like this.
There's a variety there. But even this, where you have a single purpose fund,
mm-hmm.
this can be valuable, like Public Works. You can look at the Public Works fund and get some good from it. When you look at general fund, public safety fund, internal service fund, those are multi-programs. And so you'll need to peel the onion a little bit more. When you look at general fund, really, what's the clerk doing? What's the assessor doing?
Sure.
What's the internal service fund? How is each program, public safety,
DA? Well, when you look at the general fund, you shouldn't be looking for those things. You should be looking for the ending fund balance. What is
mm-hmm.
our projected? And on your first cover page, you mentioned that we are at 4. We start
right.
with 5.9. We're
yes.
obviously budgeted to spend down several elements.
Right.
That have a proposed contingency of 4, but the goal is really 6.
Right. And I mentioned that in there, and you may, the actual fund balance is 5.9, and you may think, wow, generous, we're way ahead. But when you look at the potential draws against that, we're counting on, for example, $2 million worth of shared receipts. We might get that this year, typically February. We may not. At some point in time, those cuts are not going to occur, and that's going to catch up with us. And so public safety, patrol, sheriff in particular, is depending on that $2 million coming in. If it doesn't come in, where does the money come from? Well, general fund is the fund of last resort, not only for sheriff, but for every other fund in the county.
That's why it's important to me that when I took office in 11, there was an ending fund proposed balance of 1.9.
Yes. Yes.
And so that is egregious. There's just no excuse. 4 is not comfortable enough to say if there is a shortcoming in share receipts. Say it comes in at 1.5 for 2 years in a row. There needs to be $1 million to make up that difference, so the patrol isn't living hand to mouth. They know for 2 years they can maintain that level of service. I'd like it for longer. So you have to pull in your belt strap a little bit to say, we need to get to 6 so that we know that where the margin is going to be, where it could be.
If we have a hiccup for a couple of years, we can afford it.
Yep.
Right.
We're not cutting
service.
We're
not right on the cliff.
Yeah, all of a sudden you have to go, well, I got to lay 14 sheriffs off because we're behind schedule.
Yeah.
That doesn't look good out there.
Yeah.
You know, but got to be careful because when they see money, extra money or whatever, they go, wow, you don't need it.
Well, it's a big number, but in relation
reality,
to the overall,
not,
yeah.
It's not a big number.
Arthur's done a really good job of looking comprehensively, but individually as well, at every program and fund and making sure that there are adequate reserves or looking to aspire, having the goal of setting up adequate reserves in every fund. And that's been key to, I think, the success where we've gotten with our bond rating increasing twice.
Absolutely.
When they look at us and they say that 7 years ago you were living hand to mouth and every dollar you brought in, you spent,
already
and sometimes
spent
in excess.
At a buck five.
Yeah.
And you have nothing to live on. If something were to go awry with the hundred of different revenue streams we have,
we
can't be that dependent on grants and the benevolence of
Back when you started, you referenced the 1.5 or 1.9 million general fund balance. We did not have a property reserve or an equipment reserve.
Right.
That 1.9 literally was what we had available for a roof going out, anything along those lines. So, we've worked very hard and I think in a prudent manner to try to accumulate adequate funding to support a $100 million business, you know, $100 million operation.
It's just been a philosophy that I've had, and I think Arthur's totally shared that we just can't live like that.
Right.
Don't go close to the edge of the roof unless you can fly. And we were right at the edge of the roof.
These boards were putting us in a situation
where
we were between the crosshairs of being insolvent, basically.
Right.
Not being able to make, we couldn't meet our obligation for salary. We were having to borrow money at the end of the tax year before the revenue came in just to make payroll.
July 1. We usually borrowed about $5 million and paid it back in November when the
that's $5 million that you can't plan, that you should have been able to use for the upcoming year that you don't have.
For
now
putting it on the credit card, and that cost us $30,000 or something?
It was a little more, it was a little on the high side there, higher than that.
Well, we didn't have a good rating.
No.
That's another thing.
Wasn't as good.
Yeah,
the interest rates really have to do with how solvent you are. Why are you borrowing? First question in my mind, if I was a bank or money, why are you borrowing money for payroll?
Well, there's
not a good sign.
There's a dozen other things that having reserves in the capacity that we have or aspire to that allows us to do some things that will save us money. So we're working with JJ on what is our, so we have minimum coverages, in my opinion, that are way too low. Our first dollar levels are way too low. We can afford a higher first dollar element, which will reduce our insurance costs and save us money over the long run. Mm-hmm. And I'd much rather do that. I'm exploring with JJ another option of, in some larger municipalities, they do an in-house health clinic for employees that enables them to go to see somebody that day, but is paid for by the county, which reduces the overall health insurance costs, but affords better health care coverage. And Deschutes County and Jackson County
do it. Employees clinic?
It is. And it doesn't just have to be open to our employees. It could be a contractual element. I mean, I don't know how to get too far ahead, but we can't even explore those kinds of options if we don't have the fiscal stability to be able to make the insurance payments,
work,
to
yeah,
get a contract right on a multi-year basis with somebody to make it
work. Is that something you could go in partnership with, like, the city of Grants Pass?
The city or a school district. We're in mm-hmm. the same kind of insurance pool. It may make more sense with the schools, but I think any one of our entities is too small to do it on its own. We can get together in a cooperative manner, but nobody's going to want to partner up with, you know, somebody who's basically on the brink of insolvency.
Yeah, any given year,
you're there one year. And you're providing the service to your employees, and the next year you can't afford it anymore.
Yeah,
it's like, no,
you don't want to go there either.
So,
okay,
a lot of positives to being fiscally responsible.
So just on a very again on a summary level, I believe we're within budget compliance on every fund. But you'll notice that there are two funds that are in negative, and that's transit and airports. And you'll see it on your report here, whether you look at the summary or the detail. It'll show negative there. Both of them are the result of federal grant revenue not coming in. It's there.
It's coming, but it is not here yet, so you can't
right.
post it.
Yeah, transit is there. The new program that the FTA has implemented, we're just, everybody's having trouble, not just us, but everybody is having trouble getting that up to date. We're waiting on the feds to get that corrected so we can get, we've got $400,000 worth of revenue that's pending that we've requested, but they're having trouble getting their new system properly organized. So we're waiting on them, and the same thing with airports, the core grants. We're waiting on the state, and that's no doubt federal connected too. Those two are the ones that look like they're in trouble, but the reality is we're waiting on federal grant money.
Timeline before they straighten out?
Should have been already. But so it could be within a week, 2 weeks, but really,
Larry's a pretty good sized guy
already.
To try to hide from us.
Yeah.
A lot of it, I bet, has to do with appointments in the administration. I mean, they just don't have, this is the slowest administration to ever get positions populated to probably make those budgetary decisions and appropriations.
It's possible. I know the FTA is having system problems because they implemented a new disbursement system, and this is the first transition year for them, going from one grant year to the next grant year on the new system, and
so
the whole thing
those
crashed.
Two departments, are they being shored up by general
everybody
fund
else
temporarily, and then they'll pay
yes.
that back when they get the money comes in?
Yeah, it's basically Eve does that automatically. They get negative interest earnings on their negative balance. So, isn't that something? Yes.
Negative interest.
We're way ahead of the curve on that. We've had negative
like
interest
earned,
for years.
Earned income credit.
Yeah. It makes it fair. It's a proportionate allocation of interest across all the funds. And so if your fund goes negative, which we have on occasion, that has occurred for, you know, parks, fairgrounds back in the day, years ago. They end up with paying for that.
Okay.
And so, yeah, they're paying for that. Other than those two, I'm going to wrap this up and
yeah.
say that that the budget compliance is there. We're still early on in the year. I mean, we're only one-third of the way through the year. So probably we'll want to take another good look at this, you know, after the beginning of the year, possibly in the February timeframe, to just make sure that everybody's still, you know, there's nobody that's on the verge of going south. I think there's a couple of programs that we ought to continually pay attention to, fairgrounds being one of them.
Yeah.
Their event income, they'll probably make enough for operational purposes, but capital and any of that deferred maintenance stuff is going to be a challenge for them. The other one is airports. They are stretched to, for operational needs, they have income, but in my opinion, grant matching, they don't have that. It's a real struggle for them to take grant matching out of their operational income revenues. I would recommend that we really need to look at economic development.
I think that's a good fit as well.
Yes.
And quite frankly, if the upgrades to the airport that they're on task to complete get done, the potential for development is huge.
Yes. And that should reflect then in operational income over, you know, in the future years for the airport.
So in other words, we're investing in our airport.
Yes.
For future return.
Correct. Well, let's put it into context. We have appropriated more funds to the airport than any other program. So it's like, well, where do you put your money? It's an important conversation to have holistically and comprehensively. What have we done in the past? Don't get me wrong, 110% supportive of the airports and getting economic development funds, but it really needs to be looked at, not every time they come to us with a proposed grant, because if the fairgrounds felt like they could go out, if they were given $50,000 of match money for a grant, could they get $250,000? Probably. So could parks. So it's really important that we not just single out, but we look at it, and Larry's done a phenomenal job. And he knows what's coming down the pike, and he knows what the need is. And it's not the only way to generate revenues for matching funds.
No, but
it's the easiest way, because it's just a bank account that's sitting there that says, let's just use it for that.
Let me ask a loaded question. Is there an opportunity at some point in time in the future? We're paying off the jail at 13 cents. Is there an opportunity in some time in the future to put something on the ballot for, say, the airports and the fairgrounds at that 13 cents?
You can pick whatever number you want to bond for capital.
And no, but just to say, okay, we're going to put that on the ballot as 13 cents. It's not going to go toward the jail anymore, but it's going to go to these two funds to get them back up to where they can start doing some capital improvements down the line. I had a conversation with one of the constituents the other day. He says, you know, the animal shelter has no problem going out there and asking for 8 or 9 cents. And I think I've talked to you about it. 8 cents gives you about $600K.
Yeah.
If they could get each of them get 8 cents or 8 and 4 or 8 and 5 or 8 and 5, that would give them something to look forward to and help them a little bit. Maybe, I don't know, they'd be able to build up any reserve, but it would certainly allow them some matching. They would have something for matching funds. And if they did that for like a 5-year period, you know, $600,000 between the two of them comes out to $3 million between the two of them. And that might be the nudge that they get, because I know the airport and the fairgrounds are extremely popular amongst the voter. Might be something to think about.
Something to think about for sure. I want to use your time wisely in our time. We've got a little bit.
Yeah.
You want to end 10 minutes, Shad? So 11:50?
Yeah, I need to cram
a little bit. I have nothing
to
learn.
Okay. So if you wouldn't mind coming up, and you can stay.
I'd like to stay.
Yeah,
okay.
Thank you, sir.
What I thought was important is that we just take an opportunity. Commissioner Morgan has been charged by the board as liaison to public health to really kind of take this uncharted territory and put some parameters around what it would possibly look like.
And a big charge it was.
To not provide public health services the way we've done it historically. I think the way it was laid out prior to the creation of CCOs and other public health elements in our community, we really haven't been as dynamic to take advantage of that those new programs administered in the county. So figuring out a way to make sure that the model that we're doing is the best or change it up if necessary, so.
So I have a broader briefing on stuff throughout the department. Do you want me to hold on that?
I think we're really looking at, I was just looking at the transitional stuff. But if, I think you've been in this job for a month now?
Just under, somewhere around there.
Okay. I think if you find something that's relevant, I wouldn't want to say that it isn't. You know, if you think it's important for the board to know, this is not your only opportunity, but certainly the one on the schedule for this week.
Okay. So non-RFP stuff first. I won't go through the full briefing. I will say probably one of the big ones is the update for the animal shelter. The use of animal shelter levy funding for capital improvements. Originally with the funding from the levy, we would have been looking at about a 5-year improvement plan that would have closed out most of what we needed from a capital improvement perspective. And that would have been fine. But with the hiring of a new ACO position, that's cut into the levy funding quite a bit, and we will not be able to make.
Question, was that, and I'm just stupid on my part, but was that levy for 5 years also?
Yes.
Okay. All
right. Well, it was renewed. I know as it currently stands, we have a 5-year.
It's a 5-year. The original was 3.
You said the revenues were higher than we anticipated. It would have offset the ACO hiring.
I don't know that it offsets the. I think what my main point was, if the board decides that this is a priority to have a 4-person ACO in order to address concerns and provide for the level of service that people or that the board feels is necessary, then yeah, there are funds. That's the priority then. So there are funds, but I believe what Mike is saying is that you can't necessarily do both. If you want a capital campaign and set aside X amount of dollars of the 550 or 600 that we get, you can't do that and have another, or at least you can't do that to the extent that you originally planned and have another position, a fourth position.
Real quick, we have a shelter and advisory committee. Mm-hmm. I really think that it would be prudent to have input from them and say, these are the capital projects that we have. Mm-hmm. This is the operational services.
They've done that? Not yet.
We're meeting
in a couple weeks, and that's going to be one of the things I task them with.
I don't want to spend too much time on something that we don't have input from them on. I think we get the gist that there's not enough money.
But more importantly, there's a study that we need to get done, more importantly. And I'll let Mike address that without it, really, it doesn't matter what the advisory board is saying if we don't have something to present them to take into consideration.
So there's a needs assessment that needs to be conducted. What's been done up until now has kind of been a piecemeal approach of, we need a new facility for showing cats. So they kind of look around and, you know, gauge and they go, all right, well, let's put it right there. And nothing is being done with an eye towards what we need 10 years from now.
Right.
So where that facility was placed, one, it wasn't built appropriately. It's not built in such a way that it's functional for the shelter. It doesn't have drains for cleaning. It doesn't have a lot of things that would just be, it should be
intuitive.
Known. Yeah. So, but the other issue is where that building was placed is now in the way of where we would likely
expand.
So it's probably going to.
Well, you're talking tearing that one down and putting up something new,
or maybe moving it. You wouldn't tear it down. He'd lift it up and move it. It literally.
I never went out there and looked at that.
I haven't either. I apologize for that.
Well, and that's. I will show one thing.
How much acreage is behind that building?
I have that right here.
It's still available. All kind of drains away.
So if you want to pass that around.
It's possible, but it's not.
I have a question while we're passing that around.
Yes.
On the City of Grants Pass's urban renewal, that doesn't stop county taxes from going up. In other words, we're at $1.40 a thousand or whatever it is, and that doesn't freeze our taxes on that growth, does it?
On all new development.
Oh my gosh. Yeah,
that's the whole point of an urban renewal district.
I know.
We're frozen for the duration of that on everything that is delineated on that map.
But where
in and out, it's not assessed at a new value for us. It's the same value
as it was. Right, it freezes it for both county and city.
No, city still appreciates the difference. They get everything.
They get it all.
They're
Urban Renewal Agency gets it all.
Right, yeah. So when we go as a county representing the fairgrounds and we say we need a part of that, it's because we are paying a part of that because it's not coming back to us, correct?
We
have a pretty good sized dog in the fight.
You can make any argument you want, but Eve would tell you this year, I think we lost out on appreciation, or Connie would say, $60,000?
Yeah. No, it wasn't that much. I think it was 42. Yeah?
Okay.
I believe so.
It's somewhere between $42,000 and $60,000 of new revenue. Now, our rate is 58 cents a thousand. So you can just imagine what other entities, we have the third lowest rate in the county.
Right.
Imagine
our rate is 58, but our levy is another 90 something.
Same deal.
It doesn't get anything more from it either.
All special districts are frozen at the assessed value on the portfolio of what is out there. So,
but when it's frozen at that value, and then In and Out comes in, and Hampton Inn comes in,
area gets that.
They were pretty savvy, because they
gets all of
they
that.
They assess that at the old rates.
What
I
they
believe.
Get,
they did,
yes.
And Winco,
yes.
It was put in at a very
when
strategic
they structured
time.
That,
by Robin.
They wanted to get it now because they could take DHS building, Winco, Red Robin, and all of them, and put them in the Urban Renewal District, and not. Realize but what I'm saying is if we do that, then we still have a pretty good sized dog in the fight.
We have 8 minutes for him.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry, Mike. Go ahead.
It's all right. So what you're looking at here, the green is what's currently in use by the county, by the shelter. The blue is what's in use by the airport. And the red is what's available. And nobody knew what was available. I had to go and get the surveyor map to actually find that out. So we have access to a very large amount of open space, and that's probably going to impact what our 10-year master plan looks like. So the process for that is going to be, we are going to work with the advisory board to get a needs assessment conducted. The actual evaluation is going to be done by a professional organization. We have $26,000 dedicated this year to conducting that assessment for both the property and the needs assessment.
You need to run who's doing that by the board.
Oh, yeah.
I want to insist that we've had experience with people who do needs assessments, great resumes, poor track record with us and other counties, so it'd be really great if we could just have that name. I don't care to approve. Probably will have to approve it either by the liaison, but you know what I'm going for.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And then we'll approach you with that 10-year master plan. That way, as we identify needs, we can start placing them in appropriate positions.
That makes real sense.
Yeah. One of the big ones from a fiscal perspective is we're losing a lot of money because we don't have a clinic on site. That would likely pay for itself in 2 to 3 years because we pay a lot of money to make use of clinic space, both in the county and a whole lot of it out of Medford, because there isn't enough clinic space for doing things like spay and neuter. So where other counties hold on to animals for 7 days, we're holding on to them for 3-4 weeks because we can't get them in to get spayed and neutered. That's cost that we accrue by keeping those animals on site. Feeding, longer they stay, the more likely they are to get sick, which causes them to stay longer.
So we don't have, I don't want to get too mired down with this because this isn't really.
Yeah.
Let's explore that later.
Okay.
On your available space here, and you say the blue is the airport uses that?
Yes, they have a building on the corner.
Are they going to be on the conversation? Because they may be, ooh, we didn't know that was available. We'd like to go straight back from where they are.
No.
We've been talking with them about it.
All right.
Yeah. So they are aware. I haven't shared this with them yet, but.
You know, just to outline the bookends with every conversation that goes, that may not be the best location for them. I think that's got to be part of the conversation. So also expanding it to saying, that's the portfolio of county-owned property around the airport. It just was plucked there 40 years ago for some reason. Maybe may or may not still make sense. Certainly not, you know, right next to the population center. It's not convenient for people, exactly. It's not.
There's also an issue of the airport itself. The sound pollution is an issue with the animals.
So
I know there'd be value in considering that, but I don't know what the options are there.
Fiscally, it's probably not really easy, but I don't
know. Not because you can't move them. You can't move a bunch of barking dogs and stuff closer to residences.
Put them in places. Commercial wouldn't have a problem. I don't know. Just let's look at that first, too.
I'll talk to Arthur about it.
G Street, Evidence. Nah, that's too close.
Don't talk to Arthur about it.
We'll do our needs assessment, and then we'll look at space availability.
So you RFP. An RFP. I just want to make sure that we have a real good understanding before people spend a lot of time on an RFP, developing it, saying it's a final draft. We don't want to do an RFP. Or, you know what, having that conversation, say, yes, it's exactly what we want it to look like. I'm in favor of conversations early and often so that we don't do work that didn't get, that got done, but it wasn't really the intent or...
So is there something that you're concerned with right now that you want to make sure is considered?
I don't know. I mean, you don't have to provide me a final draft of an RFP, and then I say, we didn't really want to outsource WIC in that effort. You know, WIC is that one that pays for everything. I'd rather just have a sketch conversation.
We've presented that to the board already, and it's
a
already
potential org chart. Yeah,
an org chart of what would go out, mm-hmm. and the RFP is being developed based on the board saying go forward with that potential plan.
I think what I'm asking for is more of the budgetary elements. An org chart feels nice and it looks good, but it doesn't tell me anything about the fiscal realities of what we're potentially inheriting after you bifurcate, you take out stuff that potentially has funding elements.
He was a part of those conversations, though, and that was stuff that was along that.
And I
that
think we put together a sketch of that budget of what
that's all
would
I'm
look like
in
for the public health light, I guess.
You're ahead of the curve.
Well, but I mean, things change. You know, we do make adjustments, and so it might be time to look at it again. I don't know.
Well, one thing I'm looking at. You know, I was hired partially because of my experience with contract management, and I don't think enough contract management was contemplated in a new org structure. Okay. And there's a few other things, such mm-hmm. as fiscally, there are things that may not make sense to include in the RFP. So one of the things I'm looking at excluding is we'll still do the testing and everything can be pushed out for STDs and TB. However, the actual treatment. As a county, we get free medication from the state in providing for both TB and STDs. Leave HIV out of the conversation for now. If we push that out, even if it goes to an NGO, we still lose all of that free medication. And that cost is going to be eaten somewhere, and I'm fairly certain it's going to be the county. Because I don't think whatever organization picks it up wants to pick up that additional cost.
Right.
So their RFP would include us having to cover that.
Here's a point. Whether or not, I heard there was conversations about whether or not to like be able to break up elements of it, or do we want to have it as a comprehensive package, and I don't know where that's at.
Our feedback from the workshops is that there are groups in town each interested in a little different piece that would potentially cover everything. As of yet, there's no group interested in the whole.
Oh, okay.
And different pieces would be good fits with different groups. I think there's one agency that would be a good fit for the whole, but they're not interested.
So that fits more of the Douglas County model, who's really broke it up into like six different entities mm-hmm. where it's gone. And talking to their commissioners, not the community, but the commissioners, they feel like it's actually been beneficial to put those like services with people. And I like the idea of it going to a one-stop shop element, mm-hmm. If possible, of somebody who does most of those things already. But if they're not receptive, well, what would it, is there something we could do to possibly make them receptive, or is it's just not going to work?
We're in a specialty environment. Everybody's got a specialty. Doctor means nothing anymore. It's doctor of this, doctor of that. Maybe that's where they're going. You can't get, you know, you can't get an auto mechanic that does it all anymore. There's a transmission guy at the dealership, and each one has their own specialty, and that's just the way it's happening.
Okay.
Throughout society and try to get somebody, I'm going to take it all. Even your insurance companies are now, no, I don't do auto insurance anymore.
I just felt that was the whole point of a CCO, is to do somewhat of a comprehensive overview of somebody's health from bow to stern so that they aren't having to run and make another appointment mm-hmm. for... Mm-hmm.
That's the theoretical.
Because it is all kind of connected, right?
our CCOs are also insurance companies, and so there's still differences in billing and practice that they can do. And each clinic does have different issues as well, that they can't meet the needs of everything. But there were, at least through the workshops, agencies that responded to every element that we were looking at outsourcing.
That's
but
positive.
Whether they try to group it together as a bid, so this agency and this agency would say we'd like to work together.
Well, sometimes they do that with addictive services, right? There's not a comprehensive, you know, people can partner up in that source. And
in the private sector, well, we did that with Glendale when we did a big job for Vista Utilities. There was no one company in Southern Oregon to do it all, so three of us got together and did it.
Part of this request is that I get questions. I think we all are probably getting questions about where we at on this process, and I say, well, we've got an org chart and we've got a prospectus on where we're going. I don't really have many answers.
Well, we have a steering committee that's doing that, and I think any questions in the meantime is that's the answer, is our new public health director is working with the steering committee to develop the RFP to put out, and there's a time that we'll open for questions for those agencies before we'll actually accept proposals. And a clarification, Mike has a plan in place for doing this, and right.
That would be helpful too.
But right now as well is we had a very generic RFP that was just based on kind of a template from somewhere else.
That's fine.
He's going through and making it specific to our contracts and our needs right now. And working with that steering committee.
So. Yeah, the RFP was about 13 pages, with literally a single line talking about each program. It's up to about 50, 58, something like that, and it'll probably be 100 before it's done. We're likely to look at having a two-month question and answer period,
because
that's going to become very formalized. Right now, we can have some general conversations.
Sure.
The one area that I'm somewhat concerned about is going to be the women's health portion. Simply because the clinical services, one, I think they're very important for the community, but what may not have been contemplated in the financial considerations of this was a lot of the cost of the women's health clinic is subsidized currently. And that's also true for immunizations. Because of the staffing we get from All Care, we pay far less than market value for the staff that we receive. Out of pocket, it's probably saving us somewhere around $100,000, $150,000. I haven't done the hard figures yet, but
sounds right.
That subsidized cost, for better or worse, is going to be probably lost, because the only way for that to be, you know, carried forward would be if All Care themselves bid on that, but they don't have the clinical services. They don't have a clinic to provide those services. Hmm. So,
is a clinic in their future at some point in time, or not?
Not that I'm aware of.
Well, the theory, though, was that our public health and the clinical portion associated with WIC and the clinical was going to be co-located with All Care in their new building, in their new facility.
We have a letter of intent.
Yeah, and so the theory would be, I guess, is that there would be a clinic at that new building.
Kind of what I thought when they were talking about starting breaking ground on their second building.
That when we talked about this 2 years ago, that was the intent.
Yeah, the whole thing would be going over there. We weren't going to break it up into pieces. It was the whole clinical WIC over to All Care.
Mike's looking
Here's
like,
the problem. So, There's a big problem. Can you point to that facility right now?
No.
In 6 months from now?
In my mind.
Yeah.
So
not,
that it doesn't exist.
Right. Well, it's not exactly that big of a problem. They take it over, they locate it where it's at right now, at the current facility, until that facility is built, and then everybody moves over there, because you're going to need a place to live, but you're going to need a place to go to, because that Denver campus is being redeveloped into something else, and you have to go.
I need to go. Pardon me, I have a 12 o'clock on the phone, so I appreciate you coming by.
Absolutely.
Nice meeting you.
Well, Mike, one of the intent in this is also to make sure that we're kind of on the same page with things like this. I don't want to go too far down the road. If we're currently general fund appropriations, maybe $150,000, $200,000. Mm-hmm. If you're telling me that I'm going to always have $150,000 to $200,000, and we may or may not improve service levels or what I was looking at, cohesiveness element, where everybody has more of that one-stop shop. Yeah. I really like the CCO model from that standpoint and my naive understanding of what its intent was. If all roads are leading to that outcome, I don't need to go too far to say that this may not be exactly working out in my mind the way it was supposed to, and I don't want to spend too much time on something that doesn't give me the kind of result that I was actually looking for. If it's a margin
improved
of
services
improving,
to the clients,
you know, $25,000 of an, or whatever, I don't know that it really makes sense for us to do it in that fashion.
I don't know that we're at that point to make that decision yet. We still have to explore some opportunities and options, and Mike's still putting those things together. We're still negotiating with all care. Here's the thing. Women's health, there's a question. We're only required by the state to provide it through June. We potentially can renegotiate with the state as well that we end that sooner. So then there's no issue. It's not something that would be continued past June regardless. So right now we're negotiating with all care.
So women's health is a program administered by the county.
Reproductive health is going away.
We're not doing it after June.
Correct.
So we're talking about providing the clinical services only up through that anyway?
There's another issue there, and that is AllCare is contemplating not extending their contract past the end of the calendar year. We've put in a request to have them extend it through June. They haven't made up their mind if they're going to. If they don't, we lose essentially our ability to provide clinical services at all into January through June. So that's going to be a large.
Or we would have to pay for those?
Not sure what that's going to look like.
Okay.
I need to talk to the state to get that resolved.
That sounds fairly substantial if we're looking at if we need to continue a program of reproductive health for women clinical services past December. And it could cost the balance of the fiscal year if we're being subsidized at $150. That's $75,000 that would be, you know, that's a decision for the board to make. Nobody else can really make, you know, well, we're just not going to do it. No. We have to talk about continuing a program for the duration of what our intent was for our fiscal year. Mm-hmm. And that's a pretty important conversation that maybe we should just ruminate on at some point.
Yes, I think probably the appropriate approach, and by the way, to taking a step back and going to a higher level, we have the option, and we all will always have the option, actually, to put the RFP out, receive proposals, review, and make a decision after that.
Of course.
But that also means that we are asking local organizations to put the time, effort, and cost into developing these proposals, and then at the end of the day go, you know what, we really didn't.
I don't want to do that.
Well, and the reverse is true also. I mean, our time, effort, and cost, time, effort, and cost of, you know, pursuing a plan that may or may not be feasible if we're stuck, I'll use that word, you know, not, but if we're stuck with either women's health or some other aspect of the clinical that is just not feasible to outsource.
So
I can only explore the board can only explore every possible option if I think we have these early and often conversations, and I don't mind doing that because it refines that we're going somewhere and there's we're committed to this every time we have one and say, I think where we're at is positive, moving forward, sounds good. So
well, how about we have a purely fiscal conversation again and we can look more specifically at hard numbers. But either way, I'm going to continue moving forward on developing the RFP.
I think it's the right thing to do.
The only other outstanding issue, and I mentioned this to you about the transfer of employees, legally, when a new organization takes over these functions, employees will be transferred. And if they are a charitable organization, an NGO, or if they're a government entity, they have to take the employees and provide equivalent benefits and continue to pay into PERS. If they're a private sector, they have to take the employees, but there is no expectation that they provide equivalent pay or benefits. We can build in a requirement that private sector will be held to the same standard, with the exception of PERS, held to the same standard for taking our employees. It may be a non-issue because I think every private sector organization already pays better than equivalent.
I was going to say, this is one of those places where it may not matter.
But we have the option to build in the requirement that they have to provide equivalent. Legally, we're permitted to do it. We've checked all the boxes there.
Great.
Question is the juice worth the squeeze on it?
Right.
PERS is going to be an issue. I've checked.
The verbiage would be they have to provide equivalent requirement benefits to PERS.
And that will be an issue. That will be a problem, in
most
my
private
opinion.
Sectors, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we'll talk about that, I think, in your recommendation for a fiscal conversation.
Well, and they're only legally required to for 1 year.
12 months, correct, yeah.
So. Okay. I apologize for cutting this short.
Not a problem.
Pretty packed schedule here today, so. Yeah. If nothing further, this is great information.
Because I showed this, does that have to be left?
Generally four copies. Each of the commissioners and our record.
Nothing further. Did you have anything?
Well, yeah, we'll set up a future meeting.
For sure. This is an ongoing.
Do you want a hard copy or want to send over software?
Nothing further, the board's adjourned at 12:01.